The kick is away. And the kick is... It's good!
And now for something completely different.
Hey, everybody. I'm Chef Tim Lopez.
Kick the tires and light the fires, Big Daddy.
I work as a line chef and first cook at the Eagles NovaCare in South Philadelphia. And this show is about taking a look at football through the foods that we all love. We're going to talk with players, coaches, chefs, and celebrities about the food culture of our team and our Eagles community. This is Feeding the Birds. Welcome, everybody, again. This is Chef Tim Lopez with Feeding the Birds. Thanks for listening, everyone. Today on the show, we're going to sit down with Eagles tight end Trey Burton and discuss some of his favorite foods and some barbecue techniques. He hooks up. We also have an interview with our strength and conditioning head coach, Josh Hengst. He's going to tell us a little bit about how things are different now than they used to be when he started with the Eagles about 5 years ago, and also some of his favorite foods in our Eagles NovaCare Cafe. And finally, we have an interview with Chef Eugene Pee Wee Williford, who's our sous chef here at the Eagles NovaCare Complex Cafe. And it's a one-of-a-kind interview with a very, very wonderful friend of mine. He's going to tell us all about the way to hook up some really good soul food. So, first and foremost, let's kick it off to Trey Burton.
How you doing, bud?
Doing well, man. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, thanks for making time to come in, sir. I know you got a busy, busy week. What's the best thing you ever had in your life to eat?
You know, I'm a huge fan, now that I've married my wife, of Latin food. And okay. So there was a spot back in Gainesville where I went to college at the University of Florida of Ropa Vieja. I wouldn't necessarily call it like a hole-in-the-wall spot, you know, because like those are the most authentic, but it was like extremely authentic. So I'm a big Ropa Vieja with white rice and black beans type of guy. You know what I also really like when I had at one of my favorite restaurants here in Philly was a churrasco, but it was from like Argentina.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Dude,
the Argentines, they know their steaks, man.
They were the beast.
Good. I love all that kind of stuff. I'm trying to learn as much of it as I can because I really want to expand what we're cooking in the cafe. We hook up a lot of good stuff, but I want to get more authentic with some things.
Yeah, for sure.
And I think a lot of the times when we try something new, we get as authentic as possible and it might scare some people away. Yeah. I know we did a couple of curry dishes and stuff like that. Now, if you're into curry, that's great. But if you're not, you guys are like, man, it might be a Burger King day. I don't know.
Well, that's the problem because you're feeding so many guys.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
So you have
Absolutely.
So many different types of Absolutely. You know opinions and types of food they like.
So, yeah, we keep a little journal in our heads about what sells and what doesn't. Yeah. So, is there anything in particular in the cafe that you really, really love?
Bro, your breakfast is absolutely unbelievable.
Well, you just flipped the script on that one.
Man,
you
I know.
Used to go a different way.
Oh, dude, the croissant and the eggs and...
You used to eat pancakes. That was the hookup that you did with your eggs. What made you switch to the croissant?
I don't know, man. I walked over on that side of the room and I just saw how big they were, the croissants. Yeah. And I was like, dude, this would probably be pretty good with my eggs. And so... I might have seen somebody else do it. I don't remember 100%, but I just remember like grabbing it, bringing it over, and you hooked it up, man. It's overflowing with eggs and sausage and spinach.
Eggs and sausage and spinach and cheddar cheese.
Yeah.
And get it all scrambled up nice and tight.
Yeah.
And put it on that croissant. Croissant's very versatile.
Bro,
you do a lot on it.
Extremely versatile.
Have you ever had a burger on one?
No,
you
I have
You got to
not.
Try that next time.
Next
I want to do a burger bar. We're going to do croissants.
Done deal.
For the burger bar.
Let's do it.
That's pretty sweet,
Sign
man.
Sign me up.
So tell me a little bit more about Latin cuisine. I'm a huge fan of it. I want to get involved in it. Is there anything besides the Ropa Vieja that you really think that we could give a shot at in the cafe?
Arroz Condules.
Arroz Condules. Can you explain that a little bit to our audience?
Yeah, I haven't made it, so I don't know too much about it. I just know that it has rice, a certain type of bean that's in it. Put like pork in it. That's what my in-laws do. They put pork in it, or you can put chicken in it as well. Really good.
It's good stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. We can look that
the
up.
Churrasco. Think of anything else.
We did like an Argentine day with like a lot of cooked up rice dishes and some really nice Argentine steak type stuff with Churrasco, beef and different things. You think that would be solid across the locker room? Because when I talk to Selleck, I talk to Hicks. The more people I talk to about food, you guys seem to really dig the Latin cuisine.
For
like
sure.
Everybody seems to be loving that stuff.
Yeah, I think it's really popular. I mean, you can always do like the easy empanadas, you know, chicken or beef, or even get weird and do both chicken and beef in one, you know what I'm saying?
The more authentic we get, we scare people away.
Yeah.
But I think with Latin, I don't think that'll happen.
No.
I mean, we stick to like a regular taco day or a fajita day, which everybody loves. You know, make up some fresh guac and fresh pico and all
you
that good
you
stuff.
Do need, bro?
What's
you
that?
Have to get queso.
Queso?
Yes.
Like straight up make a fresh queso?
Please.
You like spicy queso?
With chips and queso.
Just chips and queso.
Yeah.
Just like Chipotle.
Yes.
All right,
but better.
But better than Chipotle.
Yeah, higher quality.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, absolutely, yeah. Do you like it spicy or do you just like it straight up?
I like when it has like ground beef in it. So
queso in the okay.
Ground beef in the queso, yeah. Right. It can have a little hint of, you know, spice, but okay. I want to enjoy it, you know.
But you're not like crazy hot sauce or anything like that.
No, if I did, I would add it into I wouldn't make everybody eat it. You know what I'm saying? Like, so you could just do like a regular queso, and then if somebody wanted to have it spicier,
see,
they could throw some stuff in
it. We do that a lot where we break down something, or we'll say like, this is supposed to be like a really spicy chili.
Yeah.
Why don't we take the spice elements out of it, find out what they are, put them on the side,
yeah,
and then people can add them in and mix it in and hook it up how they want it.
For sure.
You know? Talk to me a little bit about Gainesville. Was there any specific foods down there that you were really into?
Yeah, I would say Florida's just a little different just because like, there's so many different types of people. It's a college town, and I mean, they have every chain restaurant possible. One place I can think of that had something a little different, which were Gator Bites, something that you guys don't have up here too often. It was pretty good. Tastes like chicken.
We tried alligator sausage up here. We had an alligator andouille sausage, and we wound up making gumbo with it.
Wow.
And, you know, truth in advertising, we put it up on the sign. You know, this is gumbo. There's alligator sausage in it. Nobody ate it.
Really?
Everybody was like, "What was wrong with pork sausage?
Yeah.
What's wrong with turkey sausage?" I'm like, nothing's wrong with pork or turkey sausage, but this is something new. It's an organic product actually made in Florida.
Yeah.
It's really good stuff. We put it in. You know, the chefs all tasted it. We loved it. We put it in the gumbo, and we didn't sell any gumbo. That's on them. We knew it tasted good. So if I ever get it back in, would you try some?
Yeah.
Would you try some alligator sauce?
I'm all in.
All right. Sounds good, brother. Do you like octopus? You ever had that?
Yeah.
I love octopus. And
was it calamari? Or?
Yeah. Well, no, it was like the real deal. Like not cut rings, lightly fried. Like this was full on. Everything was there.
Wow.
And my wife and I went to Tuscany on our honeymoon, and she loves octopus, like real deal octopus. And so they brought it out, and it was there, and it had the ink sac, and the guy like removed the ink sac table side.
Wow.
And didn't
so
break
raw.
It, and he held it up. And then they like seared it on a grill right next to the table. And I was working here at that point. I'm like, I don't think I'd get away with this.
No.
At the Eagles. I really don't think, like, hey, today we got octopus.
No
Everybody's
chance.
Like, nah, we're out at the Burger King.
Yeah, no
That's
chance.
It. No chance at all?
No. I'm not a big sushi type of guy. Yeah.
So when they bring the sushis in on Friday, you're not hitting that too hard?
No.
You like our barbecue?
Oh, I love the barbecue.
What's your favorite thing we do
brisket,
on the barbecue?
Brisket. I love, dude. I could crush some brisket. We just had Mission Barbecue last night. Woo! Great spot.
What's some of their good stuff that they got there?
Well, Mission and Barbecue and Baby Blues are like the top two that I've had here in Philly. And if you're a good barbecue place, you have to have a good brisket.
Yes, absolutely.
Also, some pretty good burnt ends. You know, that's definitely a must. And then the chicken. And I think like the mixture of barbecue sauces, like having a variety of them instead of just having the sweet or spicy is really important as well.
Oh, I completely agree.
Mac and cheese, you know, collard greens.
Oh,
like
yes,
one of these places didn't have collard greens when I went in there. I'm like, bro, this is not a barbecue.
So just went down a couple steps in your
book.
Like, we're out. I feel you, man. I'm down on it. I think a lot of times, you know, we talk in the back, maybe we bring it too much, and people are like, no, just do different stuff. But every time we do the brisket, we sell out. So I think we should keep doing it, but we don't want to get you guys tired of it. So, I mean, they start bringing beef ribs. They start doing different cuts of pork ribs, smoked turkeys. But as far as I can tell, nobody's ever going to tire of that brisket. So,
yeah, I mean, I recently just got a smoker, a Traeger.
Oh, did you really?
Back home, in Tampa. And so I was kind of like trying to become like you, you know, a grill master or a smoker master. And been working on perfecting my brisket. So if you have any tips for me,
let me know, actually.
Please.
How in-depth would you like to get? Because I got a quick tip if you want to hear
it. Give me a quick tip.
Did you start cooking it yet? Have you ever thrown one on a smoker and
given
it a shot?
I've done about four or five.
So you know about the time period that they call the stall.
Yeah, the stall, yeah.
All right. Isn't that a pain in the butt?
It's very frustrating.
Right? Now, people don't know what the stall is. The stall is a point when you're cooking a brisket or any barbecue that has to get to a tender point on the smoker where it hits about 165 and just stays there. And for brisket, it's got to go a lot higher to get a lot more tender, but it stays there for like a good hour, hour and a half. And then finally, it starts to creep out of that zone. The way to help out the stall is something I looked into when I was reading Aaron Franklin's barbecue book. I don't know if you're familiar with him.
No,
he's a huge barbecue guy in Texas. Amazing. He's got a PBS show and everything. So I would definitely Google him. Check him out. He wraps his brisket, and he's done it a couple different ways. But what we started doing in the back on a whim, I said, let's try doing this. A lot of people wrap it in foil, especially in Texas. They call it the Texas crutch because what it does is it keeps all the juices intensified around the meat while it's cooking. Nothing gets out, and it's supposed to help you get through that stall while maintaining a moist product. But there's another method that he does where he takes parchment paper, and you wrap your brisket in that. So once you get to the stall, take it off. Lay it down on a couple pieces of parchment, wrap it up real tight, put it right back in the smoker, and it'll cut down the stall time probably 20 to 35 minutes, which is not that bad because it kind of just allows the meat to still breathe, whereas I think the foil doesn't do that. We've been doing it here for almost all season.
What do you put inside of the parchment paper or the foil? Aren't you supposed to put something like, I remember when I was doing it, it was like apple juice, something that breaks down the protein?
It all depends on how moist it is when it's going in.
Yeah.
When you pull it off to wrap it, I wouldn't add way too much more moisture. Mm-hmm. You don't want to get soggy, but it should still work out pretty well. You can pretty much add any additive liquid that you want to it like that. Like Chef Matt will spritz it up before he puts it in, but just light, you know, just light enough.
Saying like apple juice or like Coke, the acid in Coke like breaks down meat and makes it tender from what I understand.
Breaks down the protein.
Yeah, the protein. Because like the first one or two were pretty tough. You obviously not doing it before. Nothing huge. 4 to 6 pounds.
How'd it come out?
It was all right. I mean, I'm confident in it. I'm going to do more for sure. It's just a lot of meat, you know, it's like you got to have like a party or an event.
Before I did this as a career, I had no idea what I was doing. I was having a lot of fun, and that's when I started thinking about doing it for a living, and here I am now.
Yeah,
so
it's great.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to cook for you guys, man. It really is.
You're the man, dude.
Oh, I love it.
I really appreciate you.
I love seeing you guys every morning. It makes my day, you know?
Same here.
I'm pretty wired when you come in because I get here at 4.
Yeah.
So I'm on caffeine high. Sure. But people come in, like, how you feeling? I'm like, yeah, that's right. Let's go. Playoffs. You're like, dude, calm down. Yeah. So
you
I'm
and
like,
Keisha got a little system going on, man.
Oh,
you guys,
yeah, we
you guys
do.
Crush it.
Do you like that?
Oh, yeah.
You ever, like, just come in and watch that?
Yeah, for sure.
We haven't talked about this before, but Lakeisha Taylor is our front of the house person, and she is simply amazing.
Yeah.
She handles not only taking care of all the front of the house duties, register, making sure everything's stocked up, but she comes over and assists me at the grill. And Trey will tell you, I need assistance at the grill because when these guys come in all at once,
it's like 15, you know, 20 people deep.
15, 20 people deep with five more guys walking in.
Yeah.
She takes the orders and I cook them because I can't do both.
Mm-hmm.
And so I need help. So she takes the orders and we get them on the grill and we get them out. And God bless her for it because I couldn't do it without her. So
she does a great job.
She does. She really does a great job, man. So one more question I want to ask you.
Cool.
I heard about an amazing game you had when you were at Florida.
Yeah.
You got 6 touchdowns in that game. I know it was a while ago, but what types of foods did you used to eat in college that powered you to do something like that?
We would do the night before games in college. It was really similar to what we have here in Philly. We would do like the noodle bar where you can do steak, chicken, shrimp. They even had crab down there. Alfredo, marinara sauce, you know, that type of stuff. A bunch of different types of noodles. Just mix it up and have a chef cook it and a bunch of chefs, you know, in a row so that they can knock out a whole team. Just really similar to what we have here. So that's what I would do. I'm a guy that needs like a lot of salt on my food because I sweat a ton. And like a lot of my sweat is salt. We did like tests. I sweat a lot more salt than like the average person.
So you're losing a lot of body salt. So you need to re-up it. I got you.
And so I got to salt a lot of my stuff down. So other than that, you know, just put a lot more salt in my food than normal.
Okay. Do you follow that same thing now that you're in the
For
NFL, obviously?
No doubt.
Okay. That's cool. Do you remember what you ate that day when you did this?
No.
The 6 touchdowns?
No. All right. I mean, I would always get Alfredo with penne noodles, and I would do chicken and crab and a little bit of broccoli and then a lot of salt.
I would eat that. I would eat that in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
That's great. I'm glad you guys like it when we hook that stuff up. I love doing it, too.
Yeah.
It's as fun as breakfast for me.
So. Really?
Oh, absolutely. Anytime I got a fast pace with people that I care about that I'm cooking for.
People screaming orders at you.
Bring it. Those are the fun times.
That's right down your alley, huh?
Those are the fun times.
Nice.
Thanks again for sitting down with us today, Trey.
Anytime, bro.
Appreciate your time, man.
Thank you, dude. Talk to you soon.
I had a wonderful time talking with Trey Burton, and someone that definitely works really closely with Mr. Burton is my good friend, Josh Hengst. He's the head strength and conditioning coach for the Philadelphia Eagles, and I was super excited to sit down and talk with him because I like to think back on a time when it was pretty different here in the Eagles NovaCare Complex Cafe, and Josh remembers that time because he came in here about 5 years ago, so we're going to discuss a couple of differences in the way that we've made these guys leaner and meaner by redeveloping their nutrition and diet programs. So here's our interview with Josh Hengst. Welcome to Feeding the Birds, Josh.
Excited to be here. Beyond excited.
Tell me why you're excited.
Well, I don't know. You know, I consider myself a little bit of a foodie. Got a big nutrition background. Like to grind weights and be fun to talk food with you. One thing I do got to give Tim some props. Well, first of all, everybody loves the podcast so far. Been a big hit. And just for all the work that Tim does, I think sometimes it goes unrecognized. But him and everybody in that cafeteria back there, training table, you guys are all work really hard to put out a pretty impressive product. And pretty proud of you guys and what you do.
Thank you very much, man. I really appreciate that. We love to hear that from you guys because it's a pleasure for us to come in and hook it up every day. And it's really great to hear some praise from the people we work so hard for. So thanks a lot, man. Can you give us a little bit of your history, a little bit of your bio? Tell us where you're from and how you got here and what you started doing for the birds.
Grew up in a small town in Nebraska, and Nebraska was actually kind of where I got my foot in the whole sports performance zone of things. This would have been back in the late 90s, but Nebraska's football team, early 90s, 93, 94, kind of one of the top college football programs in the country. And one of the things that Nebraska was kind of known for was just the way that it developed their players, whether it be the way they fed their players, taking these walk-on kids when they're freshman year of college and putting all this lean body mass on and muscle mass on as they grew older. And so I was really fortunate. I got a chance to work with some of the best in both nutrition and strength and conditioning already when I was in college. And after that, I went on to Florida State. That's where I got my master's in sports nutrition, became a registered dietitian, continued to work in strength and conditioning for about 5 years before I got my first opportunity in the NFL with the Atlanta Falcons. And actually, it was a short stint, only there for a year. And then I actually went back to Nebraska and was the head nutritionist there for 3 years before I became an assistant strength coach with the Jaguars. And then came up to Philly. This is my fifth season here with the Eagles. Been pretty cool just seeing what we can do to feed the birds.
Thank you so much for telling us about that, because I knew some of your history, but I didn't know all of it.
In the beginning, your name was kind of just whispered, and a lot of people didn't know who Josh Hinks was, especially us back in the cafe, but we knew there were some changes coming in. There were quite a few changes that happened, not only in our cafe, but down the hall. I mean, the creation of the fuel bar in and of itself is such a drastic change from the way things were done here. Yeah. Can you tell us a little bit about that time?
So our first year, we didn't have a fuel bar, and Tim might remember this, but we were doing a lot of shakes, and it was funny because the shake was actually what got all the media attention when we first started.
I remember.
We had all these, you know, obviously individualized shakes for guys, and as they came off the practice field, it was all about the shakes and this and that. But that was really only a small piece of everything that we were doing and whatnot. But what was interesting to me was that until we put that fuel bar in, we really felt like nutrition didn't really have as big a presence as when we put the fuel bar in. And it was like that bar and having that space that was dedicated to kind of help the guys around some of the nutrient timing of fueling. Like, what do I do before practice or before lifts, during practice, after practice? The fuel bar is perfectly stationed because as our guys walk on and off the practice field, they're swinging right by that thing each and every day. But we knew that we had a need for something like that, and it was just kind of cool to see it come to fruition. And then after it did, that second year, kept thinking to myself how big of an impact having that bar and just giving nutrition some presence to it made an impact with the guys, especially on some of the nutrient timing stuff.
So options has been a big thing, and it's changed a lot in the last 5 years. And I see really good changes. I see positivity in the cafe. I think we've been doing a great job.
One of the things I think is that's cool, you know, you with the culinary background, me with the nutrition background, obviously when you're coming up with a recipe, you know, you're throwing different things in there that you know are going to kind of accent certain flavors, kind of bring out this, bring out that. But one of the other cool things, like on my end of it, is how all those foods and all those nutrients sort of work together. So like, you know, if I try to just take a dietary supplement, I really don't get as big a bang for the buck in terms of those nutrients, because when I'm eating my spinach with my garlic in combination with my sweet potatoes, all those nutrients are kind of working together, and there's actually a more of a synergistic effect for those nutrients and how they can help and provide benefits to your body when they're all consumed together and in food. And so I think that's one of the coolest things that I think has been neat about food, and then just also about how important different and variety is. You know, there's no such thing really as the one end-all be-all perfect food, because every food is unique and each food provides different nutrients and beneficial things for the athlete. And so, man, you got to be getting a robust mix of everything, you know what I'm saying?
And I see the guys that load up their plates, and I'm really proud to see that, because I didn't really see that much. You had a lot of guys who were just hitting straight up potatoes and meat. And that wasn't a problem, but maybe it really was. Maybe it really was, because as you say, variety, it's going to help you in the long run. Now, I know you're very focused on your own nutrition. I know you're focused on the team's nutrition, but you got to have some guilty pleasure foods. There's got to be some stuff when you come in that cafe that you are looking for, something that just makes it for you. What is that?
Well, there's a couple of them, actually. I mean, Tim does this to me now. It's you guys and what you put out there that's pretty hard to say no to, but I'm probably more of a savory guy, and I tend to probably indulge a little bit more on some of those higher fat proteins. So recently, they have added a new smoker here, and those of us here at the NovaCare facility, especially us barbecue fans, which that probably be one of my biggest ones, are huge fans. So whether it's that brisket coming off the smoker or those ribs or those wings, I'll tell you what, it's hard for me to put those down. And so I would probably say those are some of my biggest ones. Tim probably knows. I mean, I'm a big all foods are okay, just some you probably need to keep in check. I think this has been brought up on the podcast before, but anybody in this building realizes that when they come in at lunch or breakfast or whatever, Tim pretty much has everybody's palates pretty much locked in, knows, yeah, I know what you're going to get, know what your omelet is, know what your sandwich is. Yep, know that, know that. So I'm curious, what has been the most off the wall sort of, whether it be a sandwich or kind of just whatever nutritional ask, whether it be a player or maybe it's even somebody on staff, I don't know, where you were like putting it together every day, and but at the same time you're like, man, that is that's different.
Used to be a player here. He was a draft pick for us, Danny Watkins, and he had a really odd ritual that he would eat 4 days a week: a celery and wild mushroom quesadilla with blue cheese and grilled chicken. And he would
come. Terrible. He would come. I'm sorry.
Dude, if you've ever had hot celery, it's just not fun. Like if you get a plate of wings and the celery and the ranch or the blue cheese comes with it, and the celery's hot next to the wings, and you bite into the celery and it's not crisp, it's kind of limp and warm. No way. I'm done. Give me another plate. Hot sautéed celery and mushrooms with blue cheese and chicken every day for the most part, except for Friday. Then he would eat the wings. But I was like, why? Explain to me why. He's like, celery has a lot of health benefits, man. And I was like, okay, what are the benefits? I'm curious. I don't know, but there's some benefits. That's all I got from him.
Which is funny because I feel like celery is one of those foods that, like, I'm a nutritionist and I like all vegetables, right? But celery is the one that I'm like, I don't know.
From a chef's standpoint, celery's an aromatic. You know aromatics with cooking?
Not really.
Carrots, onions, and celery, all right, in the French, they call it mirepoix when you cook. Those are your three main ingredients. When you start making a sauce, when you start making a soup, when you start roasting things, those are the things that you put in, and they call them aromatics because the oils and the aromas that come off of them when they're roasted or sautéed or cooked in a broth help the flavor of whatever you're presenting. Celery's about 75 to 80% water, kind of like iceberg lettuce is a lot more percent water. It may have health benefits, but something that's got that much water in it, it's not going to give you, you know, a jolt of energy or provide you with a nutritional content that's going to be worth it. So I don't know where he got his info, but I'm a fan of celery. It's one of my favorite smells, I think, aromas and food. Not cooking celery, but when you first cut like an ice cold head of celery, if you're a fan of celery sticks, like dipping them and stuff, that smell is just, I think, fresh. Do you have any foods that when you go to eat them, that the aroma that they give off, whether it be fresh vegetables or something cooked, where you're just like, blows my mind when I smell that?
For me, I'm going down more like probably the garlic, mushroom. Those are kind of the foods that get me hyped up a little bit, I guess. I love like sautéed onions and things like that on sandwiches and those types of things. But I definitely am a fan of throwing in a little bit more of like the pickled type foods, and whether it be like some of the Asian slaws and anything like that, just to kind of give something a little bit of kick, little zing to it, that type of deal. But small look into the inside of my palate
That's good. I kind of knew a little bit about that. You hit the mushrooms and garlic pretty hard every morning, so, which is good. I love mushrooms, garlic, and onions too. I'm not saying that everyone should just go home and cut some celery open and have an experience, but I don't know. Just always was fresh to me. I will tell you a story about the worst omelet I ever made. I worked for a country club, and I did Sunday brunch every Sunday. And so I was on an omelet station, and it got pretty packed. So imagine just a regular breakfast day here, but it's not football players. It's a whole bunch of golfers and their families and whoever's at the country club just coming through an omelet station. I had four pans making up omelets, and this old woman comes in, and she says, I would like an egg white omelet. I'm like, okay. And she's like, and I want strawberries and blue cheese in it. And I thought she was pulling my leg, and she wasn't. And if you've ever sautéed strawberries and blue cheese together, that is the nastiest funk of an odor that you could come up with outside of some other stuff I'm not going to mention, but it should not go into food. And here I was putting it in an omelet, and I asked her three times to the point where she got angry at me and said, do you not understand English? And I was like, no, I understand English. I just want to make sure that you're aware that you're of the correct mental state to want to eat this. You sure you want strawberries and blue cheese? And I told you what I want. And she was happy as I poured it on. And she's like, thank you. My daughter won't make that at the house. She said it stinks up the kitchen. It was the worst. It was the worst breakfast I ever made. Oh. And it will always stay in my head as the worst breakfast I've ever made.
Good stuff.
It was a lot of good stuff. You got any other questions for me? Anything you're dying to know?
Oh, man. Not at the moment, but I'm secretly hoping that I get asked back onto the podcast.
I don't see it being a problem. It's a pleasure to do it. Thanks for giving me the opportunity to do it all the time.
Awesome, man. Thanks for having me.
Thank you, brother. Have a good one.
So yeah, Josh definitely had me reminisce a little bit there about the oddest thing I've ever made for a player and the oddest thing I've ever made in my life. And unless you're a huge fan of celery in your quesadillas or blue cheese in your omelets, I wouldn't recommend either. I personally believe celery and blue cheese go best with some hot wings. And let me tell you something, the next guy we got coming up knows his hot wings. He knows fried chicken. He knows soul food. And I've known him since 2007 when I first started working here. This is Chef Pee Wee Williford. He has been sous chef here at our facility for the last 17 years, and he is quite a character. And let me tell you something, if you've ever been here, you definitely know Chef Pee Wee. And if you haven't, you're in for a special treat. Here is our fantastic interview with my friend Chef Pee Wee Williford.
Sitting down with a man I've been working with for quite a long time, Mr. Pee Wee Eugene Williford.
Thank you for coming. Hey, everybody. Thank you.
You're welcome, man. Thanks for coming to talk to us today, Chef.
No problem.
Tell us a little bit about your role here at the NovaCare Complex Cafe. First of all, what's your title?
I'm a sous chef.
Okay, and how long you been doing that?
I've been doing that for a very long time. I've been here 17 years.
17 years.
Yeah, another 12 more, I'll be retiring.
Is that how we're doing it?
Yeah, that's how I'm doing it. That's cool. I ain't working all my life.
So what's the main things that you hook up here? I know you do a lot of coaches' dinners, and you help out with pretty much everything that's going on. So
yeah, you have to do a lot of everything because, you know, remember the players, they come from different ethnic groups. So you try to make them feel at home, cook the foods that their moms cook, you know what I mean? So they can feel at home.
We talk about that all the time on here, how we're trying to connect with these guys. They're coming from all over the country, different backgrounds, different flavors, different tastes. And, but at the core of it, and I think I talk about this with Chef Noel and Chef Matt, we're just trying to get to the core of what they like to eat, the comfort foods, the regular everyday meat and potatoes foods that still give them nutrition, but it's still something that's familiar to them. Would you agree with that?
I agree with that, but remember, these guys are young. So they like to splurge a little bit. So they still like the fried food. A lot of them are doing good with dieting now, but some of them still like they fried foods and stuff like they pizzas and stuff like that. So you just got to go with the flow. You know what I mean? They ask you to make something, we'd be happy to make it for them. They always got requests, though. And you have to brush up on a lot of skills. Like, I didn't really know how to do Chinese food, but now I'm the master of Chinese making. I didn't know how to do Italian food. Now I'm the master of doing Italian foods. But my main thing is country cooking. I like doing that. You know, the chitterlings, the fried chicken. Don't put buttermilk in your fried chicken. Never do that. You don't have to do that. That's a waste of money. Salt, pepper, garlic powder, onion powder, flour. Season your flour up with that. And if you want it extra crispy, I'm going to give y'all a little secret. Use a little bit of egg and hot sauce, and you will have the crispiest fried chicken ever. Tastes just like you bought it from the store.
Except better than the store, because we're here at the Eagles NovaCare Complex. That's right. So there's been a lot of changes. I mean, you've been here 17 years. I've been here almost 11 years. A lot of changes in the cafe, not only just to the menu and to the players' diets, but to the cafe itself. Do you even remember the old cafe? Because I can't even picture it anymore in my head. Like, we had a small char grill, we had a tiny little baby fryer, and we had a small line with a deli crammed in the center. Do you remember how difficult it was to bang all that out?
We came a long way, man. I mean, we didn't have the people from across the street come over there. But once they taste our food, man, the line would be wrapped around the corner half the time. You know what I mean? We had to expand. I like being busy, man. I like doing what I do. The Eagles organization, they treat you like family, man.
Absolutely. I feel exactly the same way, especially to watch them this season with their record and all the wonderful ways that they act like a family towards each other and they act like a family towards us. Yes. So I kind of feel like we're cooking for our friends and family, not so much that we're at a complex cooking for customers. Like, I don't see these people as customers. And when I say people, I don't mean just the team or the coaches, but I mean our staff. You know, we're really tight with these people. We've been here a long time.
Listen, man, when you work here, trust me, you get the phone calls after a loss. You don't get them for a win, but for a loss, you will get the phone call.
That's true.
So we really feel like we part of the team, which we are. We are part of the team. The people in the building make sure we know that.
That's something I really appreciate, how much a part of the family that we feel. So I got a new question that we were asking guys on the last one. The question is, what is the oddest food experience you've had, either something you've eaten or something you've been asked to cook for somebody? Through all the years you've been working here, I know you got a good story about this.
I have to say barbecue pig feet. You know why? Because I personally don't like pig feet. But once I barbecued it and threw that barbecue sauce on there, I loved it, man. I don't eat it that often, but it was really good. I was surprised. When people say country cooking, to me, this is just me now, is about, like, when I visited down south, they don't go to restaurants like that a lot. They home cooking. When you go down there to visit, they feed you all day, man. Macaroni and cheese, collard greens, turnips, Hop and John's. They have Hop and John's once a year. That's New Year's. Hop and John's supposed to bring you luck. Hop and John's is nothing but you take smoked neck bones, you throw rice in there, and these beans called cowpeas. You boil them with smoked neck bones. Then you throw rice in them at the end. We made the imitation Hop and John's, yeah, but it's not the one like down south, no, like they not. Do it. No, it's totally
and soul
different.
Food is like solid, man. I didn't even know that much when I first came here. Pee Wee has schooled me over the years. I mean, some real deal soul food here in the cafe. So.
I mean, the oxtails be banging.
Oh, yeah.
You got Swiss steak with onions, liver and onions, gizzards and gravy. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, field peas and snaps.
Oh,
man,
yeah.
With the
smoked
necklace.
Yes.
You taught me how to hook that up, man. And I made it. I'm not superstitious, but I made it right after the Kansas City game. I hooked it up the game after that, and the Birds just steamrolled that next team. And I was like, now I got to make this every week. And my wife's like, no, you don't. I'm like, listen, this is good food. It ain't even about the superstition. Yeah. This is about, I want more of this field peas and snaps. Like,
yeah,
just the soul food is
good,
so damn
man.
Good.
When your kids growing up, don't feed them a lot of fast food restaurant. Take your butt in the kitchen and cook them home cooked meals so they'll grow up knowing what to eat. Put them beans in there, them vegetables. They need that.
You think we do that in the cafe? Yeah, we try to treat our players a little bit like our kids and try to grow them up right with the food and things like that?
We don't treat them like kids, but we want them to preserve their bodies, man. So we try to cook food for them that'll make the longevity of their careers.
It's like clean food. It's clean going in. It's clean in their system. And not cleaning them out, but just clean food that's good food, that's homemade food, that's preservative-free, that's natural, that's old-school cooking, that's just going to be delicious and power them through whatever they're working on.
Yeah.
The last question I wanted to ask you is, you cook a lot for the coaches. How different is it cooking for the coaches versus cooking for the team?
I love cooking for the coaches because you don't have to think. Because remember, they're not playing. I try to cook them what their wives cook them. I'm always asking questions. What you have this weekend? They'll be like, well, I smoked this and it was so good. So 2 weeks down the line, I'll smoke the same thing. Because I know they spend 18 hours in this building. So I try to make them feel at home. We're supposed to have a family day where we'll have them and their family, their kids, their wives in here just for a day. Give them a good menu.
And so you don't have to think as hard on the coach's menu. You kind of talk to him, say, what y'all eating?
Yeah.
And here's what I'm going to give you.
What would you like to have? Yeah. What would you like to have?
But the team is contingent on nutritional, all that kind of stuff.
Yes.
Yeah, very cool, man. Thanks for coming to talk to us today, Chef. I appreciate your time, man. I know you're hooking up a party and stuff. Oh, yeah, we'll have you back. All right, thanks a lot, boss.
You're welcome.
Take care, man.
All right.
So that's going to do it for us this time on Feeding the Birds. It was wonderful to sit down with Trey Burton, Josh Hanks, and Chef Pee Wee. What a character. I love that guy. And he's right. We really want to make this place feel like a second home to our Philadelphia Eagles, to our staff, to our players, to our coaches. We're one big happy family here, and we're all on the road to football glory. So thank you again for listening, and won't you please join us next time on Feeding the Birds when we take a step off the field and take a look at what's on the plate. Go Birds!
Well, Mission Barbecue and Baby Blues are like the top two that I've had here in Philly. And if you're a good barbecue place, you have to have a good brisket.
Yes, absolutely.
Also, some pretty good burnt ends. You know, that's definitely a must. And then the chicken. And I think like the mixture of barbecue sauces, like having a variety of them instead of just having the sweet or spicy is really important as well.
Oh, I completely agree.
Mac and cheese, you know, collard greens. One of these places didn't have collard greens when I went in there. I'm like, bro, this is not a barbecue.
Just went down a couple steps in your broccoli. We're out.